All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, new sermon series. I hope you guys are excited about this. The title of it is Revelation. Now, we thought maybe that could be a great bait and switch because people go, oh, the book of Revelation. And, you know, I remember junior high, you know, you'd ask, what do you guys want to study? The book of Revelation. So ever since junior high, people have been disappointed. But if you read the subtitle, it's when all the pieces come together. It's not going to be about the book of Revelation. But don't tell anybody. It might get them here, you know, and they'll be, ah. So anyway, it's great to be with you guys this morning. How's everybody doing? Are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Yes.
Where you have sunshine and warmth?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. Oh, boy. I know this time of the year, where we're at right now, Christmas for you guys is just kind of a fading memory. You guys are going, what? Christmas, remember that? You know, you give gifts and you have lists of stuff that you got to go buy stuff. So it's just a fading memory for most of us right now. We've already been past Easter. We're looking forward to summer. But we are going to be talking today about gifts anyway. Going to be talking about gifts and lists, specifically God's gift that he gives to us. In fact, the gifts of God that come from him, that are given by his Spirit, that are given to his people to empower us to do God's work, but also to make Jesus known. That's what we're going to be looking at the next several weeks as we lead into the day of Pentecost, which is the day that the Spirit was actually poured up upon the church, and where we started experiencing kind of this power to make Jesus known. So after Jesus rose from the dead, that's what we celebrated last week, after he rose from the dead, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and he was teaching them about the kingdom and about what was to come and about their part in it. And then he told them at the end of that, he said, wait in Jerusalem until, and in Luke 24:49, it puts it this way, until you have been clothed with power from on high. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you're going to be given actually the power of the kingdom. And so he said you were going to be clothed with power so that you can be witnesses of Jesus, and also that you can be witnesses of his kingdom and make his kingdom and make him known to the world. So later, it says he lifted up into heaven after he told them these things. And 10 days later, they're all gathered together, and it says that this power was poured out on them. And it wasn't just kind of impersonal power. It was just light them up. It was that God's own Spirit, the Spirit of God, came and filled them, took up residence within them. And from that moment on, the followers of Jesus, when you receive Jesus, when you reestablish that relationship, whatever terminology you want to use there, part of that is that his Spirit comes and takes up residence within you. And so God himself is living within us. And on that day, though, they discovered that this wasn't just like this one-dimensional gift. So it wasn't just that, you know, we get to feel warm and fuzzy and God's inside us and, you know, we just walk around knowing God's our best friend. But instead, the Spirit came and they started seeing that he began to empower them. He began to call them and direct them, and he began to use them in very unexpected sometimes, but also in very kind of in ways that they knew it wasn't just them. They knew that the kingdom of heaven had come and that the Spirit of God had taken up residence, and somehow they were able to cooperate with him and see him do his work through them. So they saw that he began to empower them to do these things that God seemed to be instructing. This is about making Jesus known, and it's about building up his people, building up his community. And that's what these empowerments and gifts are for. So the gifts of the Spirit are a big deal. They're a big deal for the church, to the point that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing about these in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says, I don't want you to be unaware of the spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. I don't want you to be unaware of what they're for or these things that God gives to his people. Again, for that purpose of making Jesus known, for the purpose of building up his community. So let's jump in. We're going to dive into this. We're going to spend the next several weeks kind of looking at these things and seeing what God has to say. If you stand with me, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. This is one of the four passages in the New Testament that talk about the spiritual gifts, and I'm going to give you those references if you want to dig in later, but we're going to look at that. We're going to look at this one now. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. It says, "The end of all things is near." Now, they wrote this 2,000 years ago, right? So it wasn't like near, like usually, like not a couple of days ago or a couple of days away, but it is near. And they were saying the end of all things is near. In fact, the receiving of the Spirit, it showed them, you know, it's like you can see the light at the end of that tunnel. The end of all things is near. We're not quite sure how near, but it's near. And so therefore, be of sound judgment. Be sober in spirit for the purpose of prayer. And above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. These are like the highlights. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're going to look at that verse. We're going to kind of take that apart so that we can understand it. Whoever speaks, do so as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love the picture that that passage gives, because what it shows is that each one of us has this gift, and we're supposed to be using that to a gift or gifts. We're going to, you know, look at all that. But we're supposed to be serving each other through these ways that God is empowering us and has kind of as he leads us. But it's when those gifts come together that it says that you begin to see a wider, kind of get a clearer picture of God's grace. You begin to get a clearer picture of the person of Jesus. You get a clearer picture of like the gospel and the good news. What's so good about the good news? It's not just as any individual one of us is living out our faith or is being used by God. It's as all of us are coming together and we're serving each other. And it says in that people begin to see the manifold grace of God. And they get a sense of the breadth of it and the depth of it and the personal nature of it and the uniqueness of it and how many ways the Spirit can be known and how many ways the heart of God can be shown, right? So he says, gather together this many-faceted, this many-manifold grace of God is to be seen through his community, his ecclesia. We talked about that a couple of months ago, right? His body, his people. That's what the gifts are. So we want to know, what are these gifts? We don't want to be ignorant about what the gifts are. We want to know what it means for the Spirit to use us. Amen? This morning's message is titled, Many Gifts, Many Lists. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus, the gift of your love that was made known through him. We had no idea the depth of your love until we saw what he was willing to go through on our behalf. And so, Father, we give ourselves to you and to your work. We pray that your Spirit would be here, that he would be the one that is teaching. Lord, give me the words to speak as it says, just as one speak in the very utterances of God. God, I can't do that, not on my own. And so we ask that you would be the one teaching, that you would be the one that's revealing the depths of your heart in this place. Holy Spirit, we take this time and it just ordinary space and an ordinary time and an ordinary day in this just, it's an amazing, but it's an ordinary world. And we ask you to raise it, raise the level of it so that we see you, that we begin to see the depths of your grace and begin to see really the fullness and in clarity the face of Jesus Christ in his people. So Lord, teach us these things that we might make him known. We pray these things for your glory, Father. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. We pray these things by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. So when I was in high school, talk about the spiritual gifts really started to ramp up, you know, in the churches that we were a part of. And so there were inventories you could take to find out what your gift was. There were seminars you could go to and find out, you know, what these gifts were and what that meant. And there were classes, there were books, there were cassette sets. Do you guys remember cassette tapes, right? And the sets of them that you could buy. And so there were all these things that were meant to be these resources. But what I found was overall, it got to be confusing at times. Because, like, for example, you had some people that said, well, there's 27 gifts. And they said 27 because they'd gone to these four passages. Passages are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and then you have Ephesians 4, and you have 1 Peter 4. And those four passages, you find the teaching on these gifts. And so they'd go to these and they just counted them. They said, well, there's 27 listed, so there's 27 gifts. But then other people came along and said, no, there's less than that because some of them don't work anymore, right? They said, you know, nobody speaks in tongues anymore. There's no miracles anymore. There's no such thing as healing. There's no, you know, there's no more apostles. And they said, so there's far less. There are other people that said, oh, no, there's far more. There's far more because you go to the Old Testament and they talk about gifts too. And so you have all those you have to add to the list. And then some people said, no, it's so wide open. The list is it keeps growing. So we don't know how many there are. So that got confusing. And then they didn't always agree on what they were, right? Because some people said, well, the apostles, they were those guys in the first century and they gave us God's word and the prophets they speak. But we don't need them anymore. So apostles are just like missionaries. You know, so whoever goes to a different place and tells people about Jesus, that's an apostle. Or a prophet's just whoever preaches that morning. You know, that's the prophet that morning. And so they didn't agree on that. Some said that you could only have one or two gifts. You know, some people said, no, you can have all of them. And so there was a lot of confusion, I think, in those early days in my mind. And so I started going to scripture. I started looking around to see what God was doing. I started reading some of the books. And what I found is that there are some great kind of wide places of agreement that people, I mean, they agreed on some things and some things that you just find to be true in all that. And I want to share some of those with us this morning, just so we have like a starting point of where we're going to go with this. Because there's a lot of ways we could get at this, but over the next several weeks, this is how we're going to go to it. First thing that I want us to know, I want us to understand the terms that are used in Scripture when it talks about spiritual gifts, okay? Because nowhere in the New Testament do you find the Greek word that's usually used for a gift, which is this word doreia. It means literally to give. You don't find that word. You find instead some form of a word charis that means grace. And that was often used for a gift, but it was a gift of someone who was giving, kind of they had a lot and this person didn't have a lot and they had no reason or no obligation to give, but they gave it anyway. That's what grace is. And so they'd call it, you know, a grace could be considered a gift. The other word is just a word that's based on the word pneuma, which is the word for spirit. And so you have these two words, instead of doreia, which means to give, you have charismata, which means, and you'll notice that it has an M-A at the end of M-A-T-A, or it's this pneumatikos, which is pneuma with this kind of this ending on it as well. And you find that, but what both of these endings really what they're talking about is they're taking kind of this this very undefined thing like grace or spirit, and it says these are the specified ways that these things are seen. So pneumatikos could really it can kind of mean a very specific way that the Spirit shows Himself out of all the many ways He could show Himself. In the same way, charismata could mean this specific way that grace is seen out of all the ways that grace could be seen. This is a specific example of it, or instance of it. And so he says there are very specific ways that God shows his spirit or shows his grace through us to others. But it's not the whole. And so it's almost like a piece of the whole. It's a part of the picture. And so that's why 1 Peter talks about this manifold grace of God and how important it is for us to come together and to be the body that you see this manifold grace, the many ways that grace could be known, or the many ways that the Spirit could make himself known. Because through that, people see, and we see a clearer picture of the totality of God's grace. It's a lot bigger than we thought. We experience it in our lives in very personal ways, but we don't experience the whole. It's almost like, you know, we experience all of it, but not, it's very unique to us. And so to look out and see this, how many different ways God can show his grace, how many different ways he can use us to show his grace to others, how many ways God can make himself known through his Spirit and his presence known, and how many ways he can use us, and the unique ways he can use us to show his Spirit to others, ways that they hadn't thought of how God loves, how God lives out, how God wants to make his heart known. And so in these unique and very personal ways, God does this, shows his grace, shows his Spirit, shows the person of Jesus, and he chooses to do it through us. So when the Spirit comes, he empowers us in these pneumaticas, in these charismata, these instances of grace, these examples of his Spirit's presence. So secondly, I think we need to understand the power that's behind these gifts. Because a lot of times, you know, there are ways that you can look at things and you go, you know, they're really, you know, God really loves them. He really uses that person, but not me. I just must be, you know, I got the janitor gift or something. You know, I got the quiet, you know, humble person gift. That's the one I got. And it's not a very big deal. But when he talks about the way that the Spirit lives through us, in Ephesians 4:7, Paul writes, to each one of you, grace was given. And he's talking about this. This is the grace. And he's going to go into this, talk about the gifts, but he says, to each of you, grace was given, which was given according to, or in accordance with, to the same measure as the measure of Christ's gift. Okay? When you look at Jesus, and you see, and you say, was that a powerful life that God showed his kingdom and his glory through in the life of Jesus? And you say, yes. He says, to the same measure, he has given a grace to you to show himself. Okay? And then in Ephesians, earlier in Ephesians 1:19, it says that the power that is at work in us, Paul is praying, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened so that you'll know the power that's at work in you, the power that's in accordance to, the same kind of level, the same measure as the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So the only thing that Paul could think of comparing how God works through us, the only things that came to mind were the very person of Jesus and his resurrection. When he said, if you want to know the power that God is working through you. So it's his own power. The same power that we see in him, the same power that we see when we read like the book of Acts, we read about, you know, these amazing things that we're doing. That power is what works through us because it's his power. It's the power of his Spirit who abides in us. Third thing we need to know is the purpose of these gifts, right? So we need to understand the terms that we're not just talking about. You know, gifts, when we talk about gifts, the thing about talking about in terms of gift is usually you're talking about you're the one who receives, and you're talking about it in terms of, we talk about them in terms of us. What can I do with this? And that kind of, that skews it a little bit. We need to understand this is really about God's giving us these things that allow him to show himself through us, to work his kingdom through us. So first to know the terms, second to know the power, but then the purpose. The purpose is important because spiritual gifts, they're not about us. They're not about building our like spiritual resume. They're not about building our status, even in the church, so that people look at us and say, oh, you're great because you're gifted in these ways. It says that the gifts are given. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, in fact, that the most important gifts sometimes can seem to be the least important of all. Jesus, even when he was talking about things, he said, you got to know that the greatest in the kingdom is going to be the servant of all. They're not going to look like much. When he started his teaching ministry in Matthew, he starts with the Beatitudes. And he starts saying, you know what? In my kingdom, those who look poor, they're blessed. Why? Because the very power of God is working through them. So it doesn't matter their circumstances, they're blessed. You know, those who are mourning, they're blessed. Because the guy's going to come around the other side. He's going to meet that need, but also their circumstances don't matter. The hungry, the meek, the humble, those are the blessed ones. Those are the powerful ones. So we need to even start looking at each other in a very different way. Because it's not about who we seem to be. It's about who is that Spirit who is working within us. Who is the Spirit of God, and what kind of power and for what purpose? It's not to make us known, but in us, it says that he makes Jesus known. And the purpose of these gifts always is not to serve ourselves, but to build up his kingdom, to build up his people, so that we might be a testimony. We might be that witness. We might be clothed with power to be that witness of him to the world. And I can't show that on my own. I can't show the fullness of the grace of God on my own. But with his church, we can stand and show the multifaceted, manifold grace of God to the world as they see the way that we serve one another, the way that they see that we serve others through these empowerments. And so they were clothed clothed with power from on high so that they might become these witnesses of him. We need to know that, because otherwise it's really easy to seek out gifts almost like to build our own self-esteem or our own sense of, you know, importance. Some of us, out of desperation, you know, sometimes we go because we don't feel very important at all. We're like, well, I hope God gives me an important one. You know, I got to share a quick story. When I was in high school, because I was talking to God about these things, like I said, you know, all this was getting stirred up, and I'm out mowing the lawn for this older couple in our church. And nobody else wanted the job because the lawn was basically dead, you know, so you're just going through blowing up dust, you know, and it's horrible. And they have wasps in their backyard too. And so I met them. So I'm mowing the lawn and I'm having this conversation. I'm like, God, why, you know, what's my gift, you know? What great thing do you want to do through me, you know? And I'm like, and at the same time I'm having this conversation, the other part, you guys know how that goes. You have one conversation in this part of your head, the other conversation. I'm going, I hate this job. I just, what am I doing, right? And and in the midst of that, God kind of, he pulls my attention. He says, what do you enjoy doing? What have you found joy in doing? Because it's more that. It's what have you found joy in doing? A lot of things we look at, we say, I don't think I'll enjoy that. But then you put yourself in it and you find joy in it, in spite of what you thought. And he says, do you find joy in mowing this lawn for this couple in the church? I'm like, oh, I hate that. Well, yeah, I kind of, you know, kind of enjoy, you know, helping this. Because they were just a sweet couple just faithful in the church, just saw God's faithfulness through them, just the way that they would show up week after week, and kind words always. I'm going, yeah, you know, I do. I like, do you like setting up chairs when nobody's even looking? Yeah, I kind of like doing that. I enjoy doing it. He says, so what if I show myself to the world through you, through the gift of service? Is that such a bad thing? I'm like, oh, okay. Man, changed that job, didn't it? In fact, all of a sudden that job, it's not a job anymore. It becomes, this is the kingdom. This is kingdom work I'm doing here. This is the ministry of Jesus making himself known. In the same way they've made Jesus known to me, I'm also making Jesus known by the way that we just in some insignificant seeming way sometimes serve one another. The terms or about him. The power comes from him. The purpose is to make Jesus known in all things. So all this really, it brings us back to this whole thing about the lists. So many lists, so many options, so many ways that we could come up with. How does God show himself in this world? Man, right? List them off. How does he show himself? And how does he show himself in power and in grace and make Jesus known through us? And sometimes, you know, sometimes it is through like a great leader or through a great like teacher or something. Sometimes it is through a miracle. I mean, you guys, I always love there are times that in the midst of pastoring in a church when you begin, I don't know, for me, I feel like there are these times of shift where God, everything just kind of the momentum kind of starts leaning and you begin to see God almost people giving God the room to do the work that he wants to do all the time. And we're seeing some just extraordinary things that God's doing in this congregation right now. And sometimes it's a season, and sometimes, I mean, churches will go through several seasons, but we seem to be going into this season where God's moving in people's hearts. God's moving in our life together. What we're sharing in this meal after this service is going to, what a joy to just be with God's people, to just be with our church and be able to just share a meal together. But we're seeing God move in some extraordinary ways too. We're seeing God heal people in ways that we're told, that's not gonna happen. Where doctors are like, we don't know what to do, and God moves in anyway. We're seeing hearts that are being turned, where people had given up on their ability to change, this other person's heart, but then God comes around, right? And he does his work. And sometimes he does that, and everybody's like, right? But sometimes it's also God shows himself in those very hidden ways, where it is. It's just you out there in that dusty backyard mowing the backyard, for a couple in the church. Sometimes it's those hidden acts of compassion or mercy. Sometimes it's the way that nobody even knows it, but the way that you let go of a grievance, of an offense that you have against some other person, and in the name of Jesus, you forgive them. You let it go. And nobody even knows. But still, it changes things. And the grace of God is seen, even if it's only seen by the angels and the demons and, the heavenly places. But it's still seen. Sometimes it's that hidden, that work, that sacrificial act of just humility, of grace. And God makes his grace known, the breadth of his grace known, through his empowerments of his people to do his work in his name and his power. So as he shows himself through us, sometimes it is in these great ways, sometimes it's in these very humble and hidden ways. So the question is, where do we start, right? Where do we start? How can we start to, what can we be thinking about and doing to really push into being this church, this gifted body of Christ that God desires us to be? First, I want you to know, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to zero in on one of these lists. There's four main passages. We're going to zero in on one of them. And there is a reason for it. It's found in Ephesians 4. So if you guys want to start reading in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to give you the specific kind of verses at the end, but in Ephesians 4, it has five gifts that are listed: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And you guys might be looking at those and going, those have nothing to do with me, right? I mean, those are pretty heavy titles. I hope over the next several weeks we can demystify those words and just see that those are really just, those are the five streams that God works through his church, always. Everything falls into those five streams. So all of us fall into one of those five streams or a couple of those five. God usually doesn't load us up with all five. And the reason is because then we wouldn't need the church, right? We just go out and show Jesus to everybody because that's all five of the things that's how he'd be made known. But this way, if I have these two over here and you have these two over here and somebody else has an overlap with one, then we show Jesus to the world, right? But these five, the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the evangelistic, the teaching, those ministries are the five ministries that are in the church. And we're going to zero in on those because we want to find out which kind of, in very broad terms, what is that gifting, that calling, where is that place that I find joy in making Jesus known? Some of you guys, some of those terms are more threatening to you than others, right? I mean, caring for people as like a pastor, as a shepherd, kind of having that attitude. Some of you guys are going, well, I kind of do that anyway, right? Caring and connecting people. Some of you guys are going, I love to teach. I love to teach. I love to kind of find out what God is teaching me and then make that known to other people. Some of you guys are sitting there and you're going, yeah, I didn't. Some of you guys look at like, and I find this out as a pastor. You guys are having like dreams and visions all the time. And you're going, yeah, I just can't tell anybody because they'll think I'm weird. Yeah, except if we know that that's one of these five streams that God just almost like downloads. his thoughts in such a raw form that it can be scary at times to people. But when you start unpacking that and finding out, no, God's talking through that. And that's a gift, and that is something that God, I mean, it's almost like a direct line sometimes of saying stuff that the only way it can be all contained is in these short, like mini, mini movies that go on in your head sometimes. God works that way. Some of you guys have a strong urge to make Jesus known to other people in a way that's very relevant to their lives. That's the gift of evangelism, is to tell people how God loves them in the same way that to show us how God loved us, Jesus came. He incarnated. And you have this way of incarnating the gospel, incarnating God's love to other people. And you love doing that. Well, you guys, this is the church. This is what we do. Some of you guys are all about prayer. When you talk about the apostolic, you're talking about people that are drawn to, one, the word, and to prayer. And they're drawn to prayer because they understand that when you go to prayer, you enter into a realm and God uses you to almost like do work in a whole other world that sets up the work in this one. And you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. But that's because you have this gift, this stream that runs through you. And some of you guys are going, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, no, we don't. That's why we need each other. There are some of these that I understand, but I don't find joy. I don't find the joy in them that I do in others, but I see that you do, right? And through that, we make the multifaceted, the manifold grace of God known to the world. So we're going to push into Ephesians 4. And we're going to look at those things. And we're going to try and kind of uncover how does God use me? Second, we're going to find, books and inventories that can be great tools at times. But the best way to find out your gifting is you just try stuff, You just give it a whirl and you let other people then speak into your life and say, that seemed to go okay. You let them observe and talk to you about it. And so I want you guys to take some chances. Try teaching or jumping into organizations. Try it. See if God doesn't kind of raise up this joy within you. But then try maybe getting into prayer and praying in a different way. And try maybe sharing some of these things that hearing from God and then sharing with other people. But when you try these things, in these five streams, let other people then tell you how it went. That's the hard part, isn't it? You get up there and you teach and you go, how'd it go? And they go, And when you're given critique, be gracious. If somebody's learning, don't look for how they did on a scale of 1 to 100. Look for, do I sense that the Spirit of God is there? Did I sense that there was this glimmer of Jesus being made known through what they were doing? And where was that? Where was that? Was it in the core of kind of this teaching part, or was it in the heart that they shared because they actually, in a very pastoral way, they cared enough about me to share what God was saying? Look for where is Jesus, and let's let each other know that, because we find our gifts typically through that trying stuff out, not being afraid of doing that, but then also being courageous enough to let people say, where did you see Jesus? Help me to find kind of where he has called me, and so that we might make Jesus known together. The third thing we need to know this about the gifts is, whether we're talking about the 5 or the 27 or the 50, whatever, whether we're talking about things that are highly mysterious and intimidating or things that seem almost mundane, it doesn't matter. All of the gifts, it's always about Jesus being made known. It's always about building up the body of Christ. It's always about making together, as we serve together, making him known to the world, just in the way that we live with each other, the way that we love one another. So keeping that in mind, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, One of the things is that you're not going to find your gift of the Spirit, because the Bible says that if you've received Jesus, if you have that relationship, you've received the Spirit. He's given you the Spirit. And it says if you've been given the Spirit, then these gifts just come as a part of the Spirit being there. So if this is something that intrigues you, the place to start always is with that relationship with Jesus. And he always invites us to have a relationship. That's what he's about. It's not just to get his work done. His work is to bring people into relationship with him so that things can be restored the way they were meant to be. We aren't meant to live alone, not just from one another, but from him. And this is about restoring that. So the place to start is always a relationship with Jesus. Also, if you're looking more for allaying your own fears or meeting your own insecurities or trying to build up your own kind of lack of self-esteem or whatever, the gifts are no good for that. Again, it's all about him. And so part of this is just realizing that, listen, in him, I'm enough. And he, you know, it's almost like a byproduct, honestly, that you find that as you serve him and find what your purpose is in him, you will become confident. That's not the reason to pursue it. The reason to pursue it is because he's worth it. He is worthy of it. Jesus came and he gave everything for us. And so now he calls us into kind of this work of being able to join him in the work that he's doing. So if, don't be looking for anything in yourself. The third part is this. Morning, Mark. The third part is this. Don't ever think of this as your own individual kind of adventure. The reality is that when it comes to the gifts, this is all about the body of Christ. You know, we're going to come to this table at the end of the service. And if you read in the book of Corinthians and you read about what Paul has to say about coming to the table in 1 Corinthians, what he's focusing on there is, don't you know that just like there's one loaf and it gets broken and then there are many pieces, you're many members but one body? Don't you realize that? So coming to the table unworthily is not so much about our individual sin against God. That was taken care of with Christ. And daily when we deal with God on that individual basis, that's one thing. But he said, don't come to the table if there are divisions, schisms, and things that keep you from being that body of Christ and using these gifts to make him in his wholeness, but in a unified way to make him known to the world. So this third thing, making Jesus known, part of that is just knowing that this isn't about just me running out there and using my gifts so that everybody can look at me. This is about us serving one another in ways that people look in here and they go, man, that's different. I almost, you know, where they look and they say, I see Jesus walking here. When they come to the table, they come with a love for one another and a unity around what they're called to and what they're doing that I don't see anywhere else. It's as if the kingdom of heaven has been embedded here in those lives and is being lived out in this place. That's the church. That's us. That's what gifts are about. So that's what we want to look into. So Jesus is best seen when his manifold grace is seen among his people, and we all have a part in that. So, you know, as we go forward, pray that God would kind of open our eyes so that we might see what he's doing here, that we wouldn't be ignorant of the gifts and of the callings and of the work that he does. Dig into Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. That's kind of the area we're going to be really focusing on a lot. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Read the whole chapter because it talks about the character we have to have, everything, but that's the area. And then let's find out what it means to be the people of God, what it means to have the very power and person of the Holy Spirit come in. You know, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to even glorify himself. So Holy Spirit comes, and what does he do? He lifts me up. He makes Jesus known, because Jesus made known the heart of the Father, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes known through us the person of Jesus, so that the heart of the Father might be known as well. Amen?